Hello? Hey, Craig? No, not really. No. 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 Oh, man, don't make me say it. No. Okay. You do the best intros, Craig. Bye. This is going to be the lamest one we've ever done.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is show number 122 for July 6, 2006. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. If you're a returning listener, I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi, and unfortunately, I'm doing the solo show tonight. Craig Stepp is on vacation still, so I am tackling this thing all by myself. We'll see if we can make it longer than a Craig Stepp solo show for 20 minutes. I think I've got a little more content because I've got some extra padding, extra special stuff in tonight's show. We've got an interesting USB stick, another step on the road to friendly robotics, a look at a new car from Mercedes, not sure if we like it or not, and lots more stuff, including a clip from listener Charles Stell. Stick around, we'll be right back after On This Day in Tech History. On this day in tech history for July 6, 2006. This is July 6th, it's the 187th day in the Gregorian calendar. There are 178 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1785 the dollar is unanimously chosen as the monetary unit for the United States. Also on this date in 1885, Louis Pasteur successfully tests his vaccine against rabies. The patient is Joseph Meister, a boy who was bitten by a rabid dog. Robert Peary set sail on this date in 1908 for the Arctic. This is the expedition which eventually leads him to the North Pole. And it was on this date in 1919 that the British dirigible R-34 lands in New York, completing the first crossing of the Atlantic by an airship. The 10 world's largest hailstones fall in Potter, Nebraska on this date in 1928. Also on July 6, 1974, the radio program A Prairie Home Companion makes its first live broadcast. And it was on this date in 1989, at exactly 1 a.m., 23 minutes, and 45 seconds, that the time became 01, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 by British reckoning. And happy birthday goes out on this date in 1903 to Hugo Theorell, the Swedish scientist and Nobel Prize winner. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for July 6, 2006.
Hi, this is T. Morris, host of the Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy, co-author of Podcasting for Dummies, and co-founder of Podiobooks.com. And you're listening to Technorama, the show where Chuck Tomasi really wishes he was Evo Terra. And now, here are your hosts, Craig and Evo. Chuck.
Boy, after listening to the little backbeat on his sweeper bumper thing, mine sounds kind of slow. I'm going to have to pick up the beat on this thing. Speaking of T. Morris, we had a nice chat yesterday. I have to edit that up. It'll probably end up being kind of a follow-up interview to what we talked about after he finished releasing Podcasting for Dummies. There's some interesting information in there. I have to make sure what I can release and what I can't. But had some great discussions this weekend. Hope everybody had a happy Independence Day in the U.S. or if, wherever you were, 4th of July, 5th of July, 6th of July. Have a great day wherever you are, whenever you are, starting to sound like Podcast Paul. Hey, you know what? I can just ramble on and don't have to worry about talking over anybody or someone else getting in edgewise. But I do miss Craig, as I'm sure you do as well. Yesterday was the, well, yesterday for me in this whole crazy podcast time-space continuum, was the 4th of July, and I had talked to listener Charles Stell, and while I was talking, T. Morris jumped on Skype, and we started IMing back and forth a little bit. And then, let's see, I also had another talk on Monday with Steve Gingras. So I went from zero extracurricular, I don't know what you call it, special interviews thing to three that I've got to edit up. Got a vacation coming up next week, but I'll probably be spending a lot of that time editing. So look forward to some special shows. One from a lifelong friend, Steve, who has a daughter with a medical condition that I'm sure you'll find fascinating to find out about. One from T. Morris, if I can hack our more hour-plus-long conversation into something intelligible. And several stories, one of which I will lay in tonight's show, from Charles Stell. And then we'll get some cool techno stuff from what he's doing. Also wanted to let you know that I'm having a great time with the Nikon D50, the digital camera that I picked up a little while ago. There are pictures in the Flickr photo gallery, link in the show notes, but you can go to flickr.com/photos/chuckchat and see what I've been up to. Lots of pictures of kids practicing with the late afternoon lighting, that kind of thing. I think I shot 600 pictures in about 4 days. It's a 2 gig card. I didn't have to worry about it. So I wanted to apologize also, speaking of Flickr, that I had a number of responses or requests for people that wanted to be my friend sitting in the in the inbox over there, and I'm sure why I never looked at those, but up on the title bar it says you have 11 unread messages, so I started reading them, and found out most of them were, you know, listeners who wanted to be my friend. So I apologize if you sent yours as far back as April, and I never got back to it. Really am sorry about that. I have responded to all of those, and added a number of you as my friends as well, and also went looking around to see who you were linked to, so kind of fanned out to the second and third degree of friendship, and found one of you had Will Wheaton linked in as a friend. So I just decided to link directly to Will Wheaton, too. You remember Wesley Crusher from a long time ago? We have some listener feedback. So I'm going to play in some listener feedback music. This one's from Jason. Hey guys, Technorama is great. Sometimes I worry that my coworkers will think I'm insane, laughing at seemingly nothing. They have no clue what's on my iPod. Well, you should really tell them. Spread the good news. Spread the gospel of Technorama. You always seem to have something humorous that only geeks would get. That's because we are geeks. He goes on to say, I thought you'd both get a kick out of this video I found via video section on the new Dig version 3.0. Take two geek movies, Monty Python's Holy Grail and Star Wars, and you get this hilarious video. You know what? I tried watching this, but unfortunately, a lot of this stuff is now blocked from work, and I haven't had a chance to look at it yet today or at home. So I will include the link in the listener feedback section. It is a link to YouTube. Enjoy, keep up the great show from Jason. Thank you very much, Jason. Next one's from Jan Peters. Regarding video encoding, he's been catching up. Hey, Chuck, just listening to the show from the 8th of June, and I'm at the video question. Oh, yeah. He's talking about when we were talking about video encoding and H.264 and all that kind of stuff. Did this already solve itself, or can I offer some help? The basics. DV is already encoded. We were talking about the JVC camcorder that stores things right to hard drive, and I wanted to know, could you edit it, and is it raw? Is it already encoded? Is it like MP3s? Do you get some kind of loss when it gets encoded and re-encoded. Well, DV is already encoded. You don't want uncompressed video because it's big. One lossless codec that is pretty popular is HuffYuv. Wow, say that five times fast. HuffYuv. Freely available, but that really gets big, and DV ain't small, but doesn't compare. DV is about 15 gig an hour. I didn't try HuffYuv for that length, but I guess it wouldn't have fit on that 30 gig hard drive. DV is encoded at 25 megabits per second. HDV runs at the same data rate. That's interesting that DV and HDV are at the same data rate. It's an MPEG compression, but compared to DVD, it's not compressed over time. It only does JPEG-like frame-wise compression. Only spatial compression, no temporal compression. I would assume that's what your JVC cam wrote to the hard disk. Craig might be right, though. It could be MPEG 4 too, but I won't assume it's DVD-like MPEG 2 compression because it sucks for editing. There is a version of Virtual Dub that reads MPEG 2 called Virtual Dub Mod that also gives you nice info on your iPod, on your video file. So, if you've got questions left, drop me an email. Gonna catch up with the madman tonight. I hope. Got some time to listen to MP3s on my hands. You keep blasting out shows like crazy! Well, you can skip Sunday the 2nd, 3rd, whatever it was. Bye, and send my regards to Craig. I will do that because he is on vacation. We also have one additional voicemail, and thank you. If you want to write in an email or you have questions about anything we say, comments are always welcome as well. We have Chuck at chuckchat.com is great for the email. If you're sending an audio file or something, you might want to send that to chuckchat at gmail.com. Larger mailbox works out much better.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Hello, Chuck Chat listeners. This is Larry from Paul.com Security Weekly. Just calling to say hello and keep listening to Chuck Chat. And now, back to the show. Thanks, guys.
All right, that wasn't the most exciting voicemail, but it is the most exciting thing I've heard on my listener line in a while. You guys got to get back into this. We were getting all kinds of feedback. I realize this is a vacation week and things might be a little slow, but you're out on the road. Look for tech. Tell us what you find. Even if you're just not thinking about it, it's out there. Tech, science, geek, the biggest fish in Minnesota, that kind of thing. It's all out there. We want to hear about it from you. 206-222-CHAT. If you do happen to have a Skype connection and you're war driving, you find something, put Chuck Chat in your Skype playlist and we will get back to you. Looking over at the chat room, it's a pretty meager crowd in there because, again, it's probably a vacation night and everybody in the U.S. and their brother has taken a vacation. We've got Michelle, a.k.a. Country Signs, Mark Shepard, who is a fixture, a veritable pillar of the chat room community, and Zaha Doom. There are some other names in there, but I think they got petrified, and I don't know where they went, because I never see any dialogue from these people. If you're in the chat room, speak up! Speak up! We can't hear you!
Around the world, everyone's opening the bathroom doors to expose the...
Wash your hands before every email.
Chuck Tomasi's the devil. I like it, okay. It just feels tacked on. Have you used it, Chuck?
I'm weird, sorry.
Go?
Go. Craig, I heard that. You were taking a drink and almost lost it. I'm going to get you sooner or later. We're going to hear all over the microphone.
You're right.
Chuck, you owe me a new microphone. Did I ask for this?
This is Douglas C. Welch of Career Opportunities, the high-tech career handbook, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
I should let everybody know that I appreciate all the comments and things you gave on iTunes. There was a bit of confusion towards the end that we discovered we were only looking at the United States comments, and people were saying, hey, I put one in for Australia, and I put one in the UK. And we didn't discover that until the end, and I don't know if the total, the worldwide global totals have been summed up, but we came in either second or third, which is pretty good out of the nine or so shows that were all being competed against in fit. I think we had a net gain of about 16 comments just in the U.S., which I really appreciate that. It makes it look really good on that iTunes thing. So thank you very much for stepping up and giving wonderful comments. I don't think I read anything negative or, as we say in the managerial role, developmental feedback. You're not even allowed to call it constructive anymore. It's not negative feedback. It's not constructive feedback. It's developmental. That's kind of like there's no problem. There's just opportunities. And also forgot to mention that there are no birthdays on the listener birthday calendar tonight. If you have a birthday coming up, or, you know, just stick it in there in the calendar in about 9 months, we'll remember it because it's in the wiki. Go to the fun and games section. You'll see a link for the listener birthday calendar. We'd love to see your name, give you a shout out, and honor that special day that only you have. Well, I don't know. Maybe we do have, I didn't check. Maybe we do have some birthdays that you know, are shared between. That would be cool. We should find out if somebody, see if we can get some people that have the same birthday. I think there was one in there for Patrick Norton, but again, he wasn't sharing it with anybody, and don't know if he's a listener. This is just for this is just for you, the Technorama listener. So go to the wiki and put your birthday in there. On to the news. Where's my news jingle? Craig!
Yeah, now the news with Just Chuck. No Craig tonight.
Looking over the news, we've got an article in here called iRobot, Your Companion. This is rather interesting if you're into robotics. This is an article from istresults.cordis.europa.eu. Guess I didn't need the whole thing in there, but IST Results writes that they are working on a robotic technology that not only just hands you a beer, which seems a little mundane, but if you look at what we were doing with PCs 30 years ago, we were, you know, balance your checkbook, track your recipes. Those are mundane things. Nobody ever would have thought about internet or Skype chats or you know, podcasting. So they're working on robotics that have cognitive reasoning, environmental searching, just all kinds of new things to try and expand the role of a robot. Conversation, for example, is mentioned in here. People, when they talk, often take turns. You know, I talk, then you talk. How do you get a robot to recognize the interactions that go on there, or get it to recognize when a human is doing something? We often interpret things not only vocally but visually. Body language plays a lot into that. Can you get a robot to recognize, I see you are sitting down? Doesn't necessarily mean you need some toilet paper. Thank you very much, Mr. Roboto. So it's, I'm not sure how you'd program these things. I've been out of robotic programming for quite some time, so kudos to those people at the research center who can figure that all out. Mark Shepard also sent me some pictures today from a new car from Mercedes-Benz. Very interesting pictures. Mark, I hope you can get those on a Flickr account and send me a link. I'll include them in the show notes. Maybe we can do that by the end of the show because he is in the chat room. Thanks a lot. Psst. We're also joined by Karen from California. Welcome, Karen. She just jumped into the chat room too. This is kind of live as it goes. And since I'm winging it, these are all my friends off to my right. That's where the chat room is, off to my right. The music and things, it's off to my left, just so you can get a visual in there if you've never seen the camcorder. Anyway, back to this car from Mercedes-Benz. Very interesting, streamlined-looking car. It's got a double-hinge trunk. It's got forward-swinging doors. They kind of swing up on a hinge. A sleek design. But the thing you'll notice is there's no steering wheel. And it's driven by a joystick, which is kind of on the door. So for, you know, U.S. passenger or drivers, that would be on my left hand. There's some kind of controller or thingy in the middle. Not sure what that's all about. Not a whole lot of instruments laid out in front of you. And I'm not sure what's on the passenger side. It'd be kind of neat if you could be driving along and then all of a sudden, you know, flip a switch and now the passenger's joystick is driving. So you could take a nap without having to get out. And, well, that assumes your passenger knows how to drive one of these joystick cars, too. The thing I'm a little concerned about is the G-forces. You're not really aware of this until you don't have it, that when you're stopping and starting and turning, how much pressure your arms are putting on this steering wheel when you're going around the corners. If you think about when you're a passenger, you don't have quite as much control and it feels like the vehicle's sort of throwing you around. Would that happen if you're just driving by a joystick? Or would you start pulling on this joystick and start turning in the opposite direction? Who knows? If somebody's got one of these Mercedes-Benz, drive on over and I'll be happy to take a test drive and substantiate or negate my claims. Couldn't hurt. Somewhere in here, there's supposed to be a sweeper.
This is for, like, Chuck and Craig at, like, the Technorama podcast and stuff. Oh, yeah, I think your Technorama podcast, like, rocks. Not as good as Metallica, but still a rocking pretty cool. And I listen to it every week, and still not getting any, like, chicks and stuff, but you can keep on putting it out, and I'll keep on, like, listening. All right, 101, guys. I'm out of here. Oh, cool.
I pulled the trigger. Yep, I'm going to Mars. If it's not your daughter, you're fishing for something else.
Just like Obi-Wan did.
Yeah, and then you woke up.
All right. Ruined my fun.
Is that typewriter getting longer, or is that my imagination? Dun, dun, dun. A plus sign. That's the little cross on the keyboard.
Yeah, that was Stephen Hawking. Wasn't he great?
I still can't believe he's 57. They're joined in the gears.
We're not going to go into their preferences.
The 10th planet is bigger than Pluto. Now can we go home?
Chuck Chat is the only show that you know you can go to fill your head in the kind of stuff like Cooper Geeks.
Hey, Lenny, what time is it?
It's time for Hacks and Brain Stories!
Well, Lenny's here anyway. I'm not alone. Completely alone. The hack that I've seen today is from George Starcher, sends me this. It's a USB teddy bear from Geekology. I'm not sure how you say this website name, but it is spelled rather funny. This is a little teddy bear keychain. Somebody ripped the head off, stuck in the cap end of a USB memory stick, flash drive, whatever you want to call it, into the head. And then the memory part that sticks into your computer goes into the body. So the head is actually detachable, which looks really, really funny. When you take this thing and you put it in the front of your computer, it looks like your CD-ROM drive's basically eating your poor little teddy bear. I'm thinking about getting one of these for my kids. So this is the best USB drive ever in the world, hands down. I wouldn't even care if the maximum capacity was 2 megabytes, and it caught on fire every time it was plugged in. Speaking of things catching on fire, we have a story from Charles Stell that I would like to share, because this is right in line with all of the... We're thinking about a new segment. There's something that's going to come out of this. So, Charles... tell us about, oh, long time ago.
You were an engineer for HP at one point?
No. Never worked for HP.
Oh, how'd I get that?
I don't know. I've worked in telecom, in seismic, and in radio. Never worked on the microphone end of radio. I was usually the one... making sure transmitters kept working.
Okay.
You know, out there playing with thousands of volts and large vacuum tubes. I can tell you a lovely story about a place, a little radio station in Fort Worth. It was a country and western station while I was going to college.
I'm all ears.
And... one of the guys in my class, an AC circuits class, if I remember correctly, suddenly got appendicitis, and, you know, a couple of us went by to see how he was doing, and at that time, since I had started doing some RF work, I had a first-class radio telephone license with all the assorted endorsements. Things you don't get nowadays. And he said, well, since you have a first phone, he said, can I get you till I get back on my feet to go out at night and take care of this radio station because there's nobody to take care of it at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, yeah, okay, because it wasn't really that far. In fact, it was out close to my grandparents' house. So I thought, well, it's no big problem. I'll get a bucket of coffee and my books and go out there and just basically make sure everything's okay, you know, change air filters and take all the readings and make sure everything doesn't blow up. Basically all I had to do.
A bucket of coffee.
Yeah. Well, you know, and make sure that whenever the, you know, the DJ rolls over a cord with his chair and rips the plug out that I solder another plug back on or whatever. But it wasn't difficult. So I said, okay, fine, no problem. And so there I was one morning, happily reading a book. And it came time, local sunrise, for the switchover. Because at nighttime, there was a station in Louisiana that was clear channel on that frequency. So they had to go to 1 kilowatt and a directional pattern. So during the daytime, because, you know, naturally the signal won't travel as far, they went up to 50 kW and omnidirectional. So what happened is, you know, at the appropriate time, everything was programmed. You know, the DJ gets a little light on his console that tells him, hey, you got 10 seconds and then you're going to be off the air for a couple of seconds and then it'll be back on. What happens is the B plus, the high voltage, drops off the final. All the relays switch in the tuning house and to the high power final, and then the B plus voltage comes up on the high power final, and you're back on the air, but with an omnidirectional pattern and 50,000 watts. Well, this morning, you know, you got the warning. And you heard the clunk, and you started hearing all the relays clank. And then when the power came up on the high power final, there were, you know, lights and alarms and things went off, and meters were pegging and bouncing all over the place. And I said, holy cow, this ain't right. And, you know, of course, it shut itself down before I even got to the panel. What I found was out in the tuning house, which was, well, you know, 50 yards from the transmitter shack, a squirrel had chewed its way through the copper screen on the door and got in, and he was in one of the inductors when the 50 kW transmitter came up.
Oh.
And he smelled real bad. So I had to get some sticks and get, you know, the crispy critter out of the tuning house and, you know, wipe everything off and get rid of all the shorts and the inductors and then go reset everything.
Ew.
So that was my great opportunity to write up a report, you know, in the station log saying that I'd fried a squirrel.
Thank you very much, Charles. We enjoyed it. I've got a couple more great stories from him. I know that one got a little technical with all the wiring and stuff, but we appreciate it. That was good fun, and there are some opportunities in there for that audio. Like I mentioned, I was talking to T. Morris, and he put a bug in my ear. And not only does it rain, but it pours. In fact, while I was playing that, I got a response from a volcanologist. That's someone who studies volcanoes, not the guys with the pointy ears on Star Trek, and found out that he is willing to do an interview. George Starcher put me onto this guy based on a recording. This guy did, he's got some high-tech little gizmos that he spreads out on a sensor web around a volcano in Ecuador, and they ran into all kinds of trials and tribulations with that, and thought it was very interesting that we should bring that back and talk to him. George said, oh, I'd love to talk to this guy, and I said, well, hey, why not? So I threw it out there, and he said, sure, why not? So while I was listening to that, he came back and gave me that. How are you, Craig?
I'm good.
You sound good there, Grandpa.
The Illusion Islands.
The Elusive Islands?
It's next door to Fantasy Island.
The plane.
Tattoo, why are you chain smoking again?
The plane, boss.
Does it sound okay to you?
Yeah, you sound bad.
Shut up, man.
Any morning is a good morning when you're listening to Chuck and Craig in Technorama. This is Victor Cahiar from the... Hey. What happened to you guys? I thought you were singers. Back to Chuck and Craig.
And back we are. But first we're going to the Media Corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
This is from listener Alex K, who writes in, actually pointed me to this website that had a flash animation called Wind Noise, and this is supposedly played, everything on this song is played with the little Windows audio player, and I'm sure you'll recognize a whole bunch of these audio clips, like that. No, that's okay, that might be. Anyway, they're playing this, and they've got five or six of these things up and running while they play this clip. The question is, how are they getting number one and two to keep looping like that, or playing segments like that? Like that. How are they getting it to play segments when the mouse is over on another one? So it's pretty interesting. It's about 3 minutes in length. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but I will give you just a sampling here and there. That's still the same thing. They're just slowing down. I didn't know you could slow things down. But yeah, still the same little audio player. Let's zip ahead a little bit. It's not entirely all that monotonous. Yeah, that's still the... still five or six little windows. All right, that's enough of that. Now, it wouldn't be a Technorama in the summer if we didn't talk about, yes, you guessed it, Superman. Now the smile goes on Craig's face when he listens to this. This is a story called Man of Steel, Woman of Kleenex. This is by Larry Niven, who you may know a little better as the author of the Ringworld series of books. I first heard about that on the Screensavers. Many, many, many moons ago. Their geek library was in the refrigerator. Remember that? Anyway, this goes on to say why... Superman is the last of his race. His planet's dead. There's nothing left. He's a one-of-a-kind guy. And, you could put him on the endangered species list. And he's got the hots for Lois Lane. But biologically, would this work? I gotta let you know that some of these things are probably rated PG-13 or 17 or whatever the rating is. It's a little higher than, you let your six-year-old read. But very fascinating analysis of how they would actually go about, if they could. I'll leave it with that. I got to jump back for just a moment. Listener Charles Stell, the guy who told us about the fried up squirrel, he's hooking up a printer. Actually, he's already got this printer. It's an HP 6840 plotter, whatever you want to call it. He's been running it off of one machine and USB. And then, of course, his wife says, hey, I'd like to use that as well. So he's at home, got an Ethernet port on it. How hard can it be? Famous last words of everybody who wants to do my job in IT. Right? Well, he called up and said, I hooked it up. I can get to the web interface on this thing, but can't get it to accept print jobs. What do you mean? He says, well, I can get to the web interface and I see all the settings. It's got DHCP and da-da-da-da-da. But when I try to submit a print job, either from Windows directly to this Ethernet port or through Cups on his Linux machine, I think he said he's got Ubuntu running, neither of them, it gives an error. It says the print job just didn't work. So if anybody's got one of these or something similar, my first thought was, based on LaserJet technology, they often have various protocols enabled or disabled so that you don't have to chew up quite so much memory. TCP, DLC, Apple Talk, they're able to speak a number of protocols, and maybe one of these is not enabled. Now you think, well, Chuck, you just said TCP and the web talks over TCP. Not quite the same. It's what printer requests. If you know, send me an email, chuck@chuckchat.com, and I will forward that to Charles and get him the information, of course, if it's useful. And then, you know, we can always have a follow-up here and see what actually worked. Maybe somebody else has a plotter like this that they can try out. I'm kind of stuttering because I'm clicking around here as I try to talk. This is usually the part where Craig talks and I drive the mouse, but it's a little harder when you're on your own.
It's time for another Technorama Famous Quotes. I never drink water because of the disgusting things that fish do in it. W.C. Fields.
The one quote I always remember from W.C. Fields is he played a character that was always looking for the rich widow. And then when she died, he'd become rich too. Well, that was the thought. And one of his famous quotes was, "Where there's a will, prosperity is just around the corner." That's the one I always remember. Yes, I listened to quite a few of those old radio shows. It's not just what you heard on the last show. If you liked that, by the way, if that was a pleasant diversion, let me know. If you went, you know, Chuck, you probably shouldn't have put anything up. I'd like to hear that too. Just want to know. See if anybody out there enjoys the old-time radio. See if we can, maybe we start another feed or something. Who knows? Hey, I'm just about wrapping it up. I looked through the Geek Library. Once again, Marv, you've done a spectacular job. I've included all your links in there. There is a link to the Gillette Singularity, which is a prediction that has the plot of when they came out with the single-blade razor, the double-blade razor. And this thing looks like it goes exponentially crazy, and they're predicting that they'll have a 14-bladed razor by the year 2100. There's also a Lego rocket launcher, a link to the original promo for the Screensavers, which is interesting because Kay Patello was Leo's original co-host, but yet this one is the one with Patrick Norton. It's still funny because they look just a little different. You can tell that the last 8 or so years have changed them slightly, but who hasn't changed in the last 8 years? There's also a 40-foot statue of Optimus Prime in remote southern China. How it got there, I don't know, but I'm getting a lot of ideas for different intros and segments and things off of reading some of these articles. It's kind of fun. There's also a reverse colorblindness test. If you remember the when you go to get the colorblind test and they put like a number 6 hidden in there and you're supposed to say, oh yes, the green dots and the red dots are distinctly different. This one they make so close, it's a reverse colorblind test. If you can see it, it proves you're colorblind. Or to some degree. I could see the images and I could sort of make out what it was, but I've always passed the colorblind test on my driver's license. There's a link to Mythbusters Season 1, our good buddy Adam Savage on the Mythbusters, and their segment about the exploding tree cannon. Very good stuff. Of course, this was in the days before they had Carrie, so yeah, would have been nice to have that. Transformers movie trailer. A killer tomatoes and how they're using tomatoes, kind of like the cows were used to make vaccines. So that way, if you eat the tomatoes, it will cure HIV or hepatitis B or whatever, kind of an incubator for these vaccines. Interesting article there. And what if you were in the U.S. this past weekend and you watched the fireworks, you've got to see this. It's a video on YouTube, if I remember right. Yep, on YouTube. What it looks like to see 45,000 bottle rockets go off. It was very spectacular. And of course, science. We've got a link to an article about how to transport live fish without water. Very interesting technology that's going to allow scientists or fish marketers in third world countries compete because they don't have to ship the water with the fish to send free fish. They can basically put the fish in suspended animation and ship them from Thailand to New York. You know, fly them, ship them, whatever you want to call it. But they can send just the fish, cutting down on a lot of weight, cutting down on a lot of costs. And links to that and many other things in the show notes if you're interested. That's going to do it for us this time. Us? Who's us? Me. That's going to do it for me this time. Don't forget, I still want some pictures for that presentation I'm doing in the Podcast Expo. Thank you very much to everybody who sent me one. You think one or two of those 600 that I took this past weekend would end up in that presentation? Maybe, maybe not. But I want to hear from you. Send me a picture. Make sure it's of reasonable resolution. If it's, you know, 150 by 150, that's probably not going to work too well on a big screen presentation. But on the other hand, I don't need something that's, you know, 8 megapixels in a RAW format. So 1024 by 768 would be wonderful. 800 by 600 would probably be the minimum that I'd want to take. But 1280 by 1024, muy bueno. If you want to get in contact with us, there's the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. Sorry, no funny voices this time, unless you think my voice is getting a little hoarse. It's getting a little hoarse because I did one-on-one meetings all day with my staff. So, yes, it is a little crackly. Hang on. Keep the water close by. You can email me, as I mentioned a couple times already, chuck at chuckchat.com. Audio comments can be sent to chuckchat at gmail.com. Craig, he's still there. He'll check mail when he gets back. Craig at chuckchat.com. And as he likes to say, the one constant in the universe, the website at chuckchat.com for forum, swag, webcam, mailing list, links, and all the show notes, stuff we've mentioned here, and much, much more. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more about them at friendsintech.com. Audio streaming provided by Scott Reynolds. Chat room provided by freenode.net. Background music for the email segment, Scott Helm from incoherentmumblings.com. If you're getting this show by clicking on the link, consider subscribing to get this show automatically delivered to you for free. And tell somebody about Technorama. Spread the word. Don't just sit there laughing at your iPod all by yourself. Share it with them, like that nice story about the mother and daughter story, mother and son story that we heard. As always, binary high five 101. Till next time, take care.
Wow. I thought I knew what ridiculous was until this day.